May go ahead and be seated. Be seated with Christ in heavenly places. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, what a joy to praise and worship our God. Holy is the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome again to Friday Night ABC. And we're ready for another delve into the Word of God. Amen. So we are continuing a series that we started a while ago called Prayer of Affirmation, and we are now in part 5. And this one is called More Reasons for Affirming the Word of God. That's because last week was called Reasons for Affirming the Word of God. So we are going to be looking at some more reasons. We dealt with 20 last week, and we're going to look at 23 more today of why we want to affirm, why we want to speak forth, why we want to declare the Word of God in our lives. And what that does for us is amazing. We talked about last week how speaking the Word of God over our situations releases the anointing of God. And it also is part of our spiritual warfare as we use the sword of the Spirit. Remember our buddy Eleazar, whose hand clave to the sword after he had fought and fought and fought those Philistines. Until when? Until he had won. That's right. Until he had won. And so just like that, we use the Word of God in our mouth to speak forth what we desire of the Word of God, what we're standing in faith for, until we win. Until we win. We talked about speaking into existence what we desire, because that which we do not see, the unseen, changes that which is seen as we speak the Word of God. We also saw that speaking the Word of God releases the creative power of God to work in a situation. It's the power of God is in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, not just for salvation, but the good news for everything that Jesus has done for us, for our full salvation package. When we speak the Word of God, it releases the power of God into that situation. So tonight we want to look at some more reasons for affirming the Word in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I have just found this so encouraging. We need to speak the Word of God in our lives. We need to affirm constantly, like it tells us in Titus 3:8. Affirm constantly the things that we have learned and heard from the Word of God. The most important thing you can do is to speak the Word of God. You were born again by speaking the Word of God. You are justified by the words of your mouth. Jesus said only what the Father said, and that is to be our example. Now think about that, because when Jesus heard something from God, what was that? That was God's Word. So in the same way, when we speak God's Word and we do it, I mean, we should only be saying what the Father has said. That releases the power of God into our life. When you partner with God, when you seize His Word in your heart, and when it comes out of your mouth, then you become a walking blessing to this world. Because the Word of God is working in you, you know how to stand by faith, you know how to change the things around you, and you become that blessing to other people's lives. Because the Word of God, powerful in you, causes the glory of God to be ministered to those around us. Amen. Before we actually get into the 23 reasons, I want to speak a little bit about how the Word spoken out of our heart is supercharged. What I mean by that is that the word of God that's been engrafted into our heart, the word of God that has become part of our core value system, where we have heard it, we have been acting on it, we have been inputting it into our lives. So when the word of God is living and active in our heart, when we then speak it out of our mouth, it supercharges it. So I want to look at that for a few minutes. Mark 11, verses 22 through 24, scriptures we are familiar with. We better be familiar with it. If you've been around here very long, you know what I'm talking about. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. See, but doesn't doubt in his heart. And that doesn't mean that the evil one might not be bringing thoughts. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to happen. You're going to fail. You're going to die. The sickness is unto death. Whatever kind of lies that he may be bringing to you that is contrary to the word of God. See, if you don't doubt in your heart, now those words in your mind, you can cast them out. You can put them down. But in your heart, you need to be believing the word of God, because the word of God in your heart, when you speak it, is supercharged. And it says there, but don't doubt in your heart, but shall believe the things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. He shall have whatever he says. So it needs to be the word of God in our heart. Faith resides in our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says that we are to guard, to keep our heart, to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all the issues of life, everything about our life. See, faith resides in our heart, because it's what we believe in our heart that we stand on. That is our core value. That is what we believe about things. Now, I brought this up once before in a different teaching, but let me just bring it up here, because this is really important about the word of God in our hearts and about dealing with the evil one bringing things into our mind. See, it's what's in the heart that governs what comes out of our mouth. If you believe something in your heart, you can hear something contrary in your head, and your heart will actually stop your mouth from speaking it. So that's why it is so important. Our mouth guides our life. We'll look at that a little bit more later. Our mouth guides our life. And so what controls what comes out of our mouth is what is in our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, out of what is in our heart, the mouth speaks. So you can look at what kind of things that you are speaking when situations, when crises and other challenges come up in your life. What is it you're saying? That will kind of give you a reflection of what you believe in your heart. Because your heart, what you believe in your heart, will override in your mind, and the threat of that coming out your mouth, it will override it. A good example there is Abraham. Abraham, when he was given the promise that he would have a son in his old age with his wife, who's been barren all her life and is now even beyond childbearing years, this is what it says, Romans 4, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So what we see here is that he believed what God said in his heart. And because of that, when he saw the situation of his body, of Sarah's body, it did not deter his faith, because in his heart, he believed what God had said. Let's go on, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So see, the word of God in his heart was what gave him the ability to stand in faith and receive. See, that's the important part. Then he received it, because through faith and patience, we receive the promises. We receive the promises. So the process works like this. According to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when we hear the word of God, our mind is renewed. It says there, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be metamorphosized, be changed from one species of being to another, like the caterpillar to the butterfly. Be changed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that renewing is hearing the word of God and letting it change your mind. But that isn't faith in your heart. That is mental assent in your mind. You agree with what the word of God says in your mind. Now, what gets it into your heart is acting on it. So you get the word in your heart when you act on it. James 1:21 through 1:25, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but what it's saying there is that we are to receive with meekness, with humility, the engrafted word in our hearts, which is able to save our souls. Do not be a hearer only, but a doer of the word. For if one is a hearer only, he deceives himself. We are to be a hearer and a doer. So we have to hear the word. That's how we get the word, because our faith can only grow to what our knowledge is, what we understand, what we hear from the word of God. And then by acting, by doing the word of God, then it gets into our heart. Because there in verse 25 of James 1, it says that it is the man who then is a doer of the word, he is the one that is blessed in his doing. He's blessed because now it is down in his heart and he gets the result of it. So the conclusion then is, when the faith-filled words, by getting it into our heart, the faith-filled words that come out of our heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So those words that come out of our mouth have power. They have power. So as we are growing in affirmations, we may start out with them just being in our mind. We know what the word of God says. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we say them out of our mind. Now, we'll find out later that it's a good thing to be even saying them out of our mind, because then we are hearing the word of God, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. But when it gets into our heart, it supercharges. So when you are dealing with a situation in your life and you're speaking the word of God over it, spend time in the word of God so that it begins to get into your heart. Spend time in it. Do what you need to do for your faith action plan. By stepping out in faith, by doing the word of God, then it gets into our heart. And when we speak it, boy, there is real power behind it. So let's talk now about more reasons for affirming the word of God. Number one, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and your testimony. From Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, who is the him? The him is the evil one. Overcame Satan, the accuser of the brethren. So what it talks about in the verse before that. They overcame him. Now, this word here, overcame, is an interesting word. More than half of the time that it's used in the New Testament, it's used in the book of Revelation. And it's talking about the overcomer. If you look at chapter 2 and 3, you'll see it in there 7 times, because it says, he who overcame will get crown of life, the name written on a white stone, will get a robe of pure white, will become a pillar in the house of God, all these things that it talks about, that those who overcome, those who are victorious. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, it talks about that those who are born of God overcome the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We are to be overcomers. It's the word nakao in the Greek, and it means to subdue, to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. Now, you heard the word I said, nakao. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, where it says there that, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. The word used there for more than conquerors is huper nakao. In other words, more than victors, hyper victors. Oftentimes that word is translated from Greek into English as hyper, but it can also be translated as super. And you can kind of hear it in there, huper, super. So we are to be super conquerors. So we can, and if you read the different places where that word is used in the New Testament, it tells us that we can overcome everything that the evil one throws against us. It's by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, what Jesus has done for us, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In other words, what comes out of our mouth, what we are saying about the word of God. When it comes out of our mouth, it overcomes everything that the evil one throws at us. Number 2, it releases the angels to work. This is a great promise. Psalm 103, verse 20. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, God's commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. First of all, let's talk about hearkening. Now, when we read the word hearken, we need to think of two things. It means hear and do. Hear and do. Hearken is not just hearing. It's not just hearkening. Yeah, I hear it. No, it's hear and do. So when we are told to hearken unto the voice of the Lord, that means we are to hear and do. Well, when the angels hear the word of God, they hear what is being said and they do it. Now it says to the voice of God's word. Where are the angels going to hear the voice of God's word? How about when we voice God's word, when we give voice to God's word, when we are speaking God's word, it releases the angels to hear and do, to hearken on our behalf and to accomplish what he has told us to do. In Hebrews 1:14, it says, are not angels ministering spirits sent to those who are the heirs of salvation? And that be us. Amen. We are those heirs of salvation, and the angels work on our behalf. Mark 11:23, we have what we say. We've already talked about that. What you say. Now, that works both ways. Both ways. The negative and the positive. Whether we're speaking the word of God or not speaking the word of God. My suggestion to you is speak the word of God, because what we want is for the mountains in our life to be moved. What we want is to not doubt in our heart God's word, so that when whatsoever things that we say come to pass, right? That's what we want, God's word to come to pass in our lives. Number 4, when we speak the word of God, we are taking the land little by little. In Joshua 1:3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So Joshua had to take the land step by step. Notice the use of the tenses that he uses here. Every step that you shall take, I have already given it to you. So as we take steps by speaking the word of God, as we have a challenge in our life and we step out on God's word, that we are believing that God is going to handle this situation, say it's a challenge in our body, we say, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. As we take those steps, as we speak the word of God, then it releases God's word that we can take then what has been promised to us, which in this case is healing that we're talking about. Just like Joshua would take the land step by step, healing would be taken step by step as we speak it, because he has already given it to us. Right? Jesus died, and in dying, he bought our healing. Signs and wonders follow to confirm the word that is spoken. These are some great scriptures from Acts, showing how, as they spoke the word of God, that it released signs and wonders. Listen to this, Acts 14:3. Long time there For abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hand, as they spoke the word boldly. Acts 8, verses 12 and 13. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs that were done. So Philip was preaching the word, and signs and miracles were being done as he was speaking forth the word of God. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 40, and many other words did he testify and exhort. This is talking about Peter. Save yourselves, therefore, from this untoward generation. And when they had gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So again, they were speaking, they were testifying, and God was showing himself strong. And in Acts 4:29 and 30, it says, and now behold, Lord, their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. So as they spoke the word boldly, as they spoke it out, then God was releasing his anointing, releasing his power, and signs and wonders were being done. Let's go on now to number 6. Releasing the issues of life with our words. In Proverbs 4:23, we looked at that a few minutes ago. It says there, keep thy heart with all diligence, or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow all the issues of life. So with our words, remember, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So the word of God that is in our heart, as we are speaking it out, the issues of life coming out of our mouth, from our heart, is powerful and changes things like we've been talking about. I want us to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you would, to that passage there in Proverbs chapter 4 about the word of God. This is a powerful passage about the importance of the word of God. Proverbs chapter 4. Starting in verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health. Another way of translating that word health is medicine. Health or medicine to all their flesh. So as we are speaking the word of God, see, we see how powerful it is. It says there not to let it depart from our eyes, not to let it depart from our ears, but we are to keep speaking it. As we speak the word of God, that's part of that is we are keeping it in our ears because we're hearing what we are saying. And it releases then into our lives health and healing. It becomes medicine to our flesh as we speak it. Number 8, you are justified by the words of your mouth. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. By your words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. By the words of our mouth we are justified. When we are speaking God's word, we are standing before God as though we have never sinned. And that then releases the power of God into our life to accomplish what he has desired. So we need to continue speaking the word. If we stop speaking the word of God, then we are doing the opposite, and we are allowing then condemnation. We are allowing then an opening for the evil one to come into our lives. You are justified by the words of your mouth. Number 9, your declarations establish the truth. Matthew 18, 16. It's talking here about discipline in the church, but it brings up a principle that is very true. If he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So when we are speaking the word of God, we are confirming the word of God. We are declaring and establishing the truth, because it's out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Notice that. Number 10, this is one that I really like. It releases the word to fulfill its purpose. In Isaiah 55, 11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it. God's word has come to us, and it says that his word will not return void. It will accomplish what it will accomplish. But my Bible, which is full of the word of God and the promises of God, sitting on my coffee table, does not accomplish the things that he's called it to do. How does it work when it accomplishes the things that it is going to do? And that is when we speak it out of our mouth, when we are applying it to our life, then that is how it doesn't return void. Our words release the word to fulfill its purpose. So when Jesus says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, as we speak that word out, as we take steps to obey it in whatever that may mean, steps of faith that God has supplied all of our needs, then it allows the word to accomplish what God has sent it forth to do, that all of our needs would be met. And that goes for any word of God. It releases the word to fulfill its purpose. And in Proverbs 15:4, talks about that our tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A wholesome tongue gives life for us as we speak it forth. It, into our lives, into our bodies, whatever is needed, it brings life to us, and it can bring life to those around us. We have a woman who is part of ABC, and years ago, when she was a nurse in a hospital, there was an outbreak of scabies, itching and everything, and so the administration determined that what they needed to do, because all the staff was coming down with this, was that they needed to supply medicine. Well, this one woman didn't want to take the medicine. This was a pretty virulent form of scabies, and they would say that you had to take the medicine for like 6 weeks or something like that. And of course, you know, all those wonderful lists of side effects, you know, the music playing in the background and everybody dancing around, and it says, oh, by the way, this can cause your death, but have fun. So, and have a wonderful life. So anyway, she did not want to participate in that. So she determined she was going to stand on the word of God. So the first day she did a couple hundred affirmations that she'd been healed by the stripes of Jesus. The symptoms went away and she was doing good. The next day, though, when she got up, the symptoms were back, just as bad as they were initially. She said, I am going to get this out of my system, out of my body now. And so she spent that day doing 6,000 affirmations, speaking forth the word of God that she had been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Knocked it out and never came back. So while all the rest of the staff was spending 6 weeks, she did 6,000 affirmations and was done in a day. Amen. Amen. The word of God released into our life when we speak it. Here's a group of scriptures that I really like about protecting yourself. When you speak the word of God, you are protecting yourself from the destroyer. And we'll go ahead and start here in Psalm 17, verse 3. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me, and thou shalt find nothing. For I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. In other words, my mouth is going to speak that which is right, that which is true, is going to speak the word of God. Verse 4, concerning the works of men, by the word of my lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. So as we are speaking God's word, it keeps us from the path of the destroyer in our lives. Our words resist the devil. James 4:7 tells us, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, what we just read was, as we're speaking the word of God, we are resisting the devil in our lives. We are resisting the destroyer. Psalm 8:2 and Matthew 21:16. Matthew 21:16 is actually the quoting of Psalm 8:2, but it brings out some different aspects that you don't get. And so I want to read both of them. Well, I'll start with Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Matthew 21:16 puts it this way, and said unto him, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, Have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? So when he's saying that they have perfected praise, the definition of what that praise is and what that praise does, is that it overcomes the enemy and the avenger in our life. So we speak forth the word of God, and it overcomes that enemy, that avenger. We speak forth the praises of God, because remember that one of the very first reason for affirming the word of God was that it gave thanks to God. It was our way of giving thanks to him. Thank you, Jesus, that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you have met all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So when we praise him by speaking forth his word in thanksgiving, then it silences the avenger in our life. Our words keep us out of snares and trouble when we are speaking the word of God, because look at the way it says it in Proverbs, these two verses in Proverbs, in the negative, but we want to turn it into the positive. Proverbs 6, verse 2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of my mouth. And Proverbs 21, 23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. So we keep our mouth from sending us into traps by speaking the word of God. Because when we are speaking the word of God, the traps are released. The traps are broken. The word of God releases the anointing of God. The anointing of God breaks the yoke in our lives. It destroys the yoke. It lifts the burdens that have been caused by not speaking the word of God, speaking something else. So our words keep us out of snares and troubles. Our words guide our lives. From James chapter 3, for in many things we offend all. We talked about this last week. It was in the introduction, but now we're talking about it in terms of it being one of the reasons for affirmation. That word offend there doesn't mean that we say things that cause others to take offense at us. What it means is that we offend. In other words, we speak wrongly. We set up a trap for ourselves, a snare for ourselves. So in many ways, we offend all. We're always offending. We're always saying things that we shouldn't. If any man does not stumble in his words, does not cause a trap for his words, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. If we want to be that perfect man and bridle our whole body, we've got to learn how to control this tongue so that we're not saying things that trip us up, because we want to be speaking the word of God to bring life, to bring health, to bring blessing to our lives. Well, I'm going to go on. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor lists or decides. So our tongue guides our life. So that's why we want to speak out of our tongue the direction that we want our life to go. So if you want healing in your life, speak healing. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My knee has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My kidneys have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Whatever the situation may be, you want prosperity and riches in your life, then speak what the Word of God says. We have been made rich by the poverty of Jesus. That will take our life in that direction. So our words guide our life. Our words also deliver our souls. We read this a few minutes ago in James 1:21 that says that we receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to deliver our souls. So we receive it with meekness. What does that mean? That means that we are humble before the word of God. We realize that what God has said, he knows more than we do. And so when he says, do this, and we think, well, that doesn't make any sense. No, we say, you know what? I may not understand it, but I receive it with meekness. And in doing so, it begins to deliver our soul, to deliver our life. So we receive the word of God. We also then speak the word of God, and it delivers our soul. There was a woman just not too long ago who was struggling with addiction to alcohol. And she was led by our pastor to do affirmations about overcoming this challenge in her life. And so she was diligent in doing that, to the point where after she got done drinking, she would say, you know, I know I shouldn't have done this. Forgive me, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you are helping me to overcome this addiction. And she just kept saying that, you know, just throughout the day, throughout the weeks, as she would be struggling with that challenge, she would just keep affirming what God's word said, that she would overcome this challenge in her life. And then one day she woke up, the desire was gone. God took it. Because as she was speaking God's word, he was destroying the avenger in her life that was trying to take her word. A very similar story about a young man that was trying to quit smoking. And the pastor would tell him, every time you take a puff of your cigarette, as you'd blow it out, say, God has delivered me from smoking. In the name of Jesus, God has delivered me from smoking. In the name of Jesus, God has delivered me from smoking. And it wasn't too long. All of a sudden, he looked at this cigarette one day and he said, what in the world am I doing? And he put it out, and that was the last time he smoked. Because as he spoke the word of God, even in the midst of that challenge, even in the midst of those temptations, even in the midst of giving in to those temptations, it stilled the avenger in his life and resisted the devil in his life, and he was delivered. Number 18, increasing your faith with affirmations. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you are speaking the word of God, you're not only speaking it, but you're hearing yourself speak it. And the more you speak it, the more you keep it up, the more you're hearing the word of God, that's part of the process of faith being engendered. That's part of the process of getting it into your heart. Speaking it, doing it, gets it into your heart. So as you are speaking the word of God, you are hearing it, and it increases your faith. Your affirmations, number 19, your affirmations of the word agree with Jesus. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. So when we speak the word of God, we are agreeing with Jesus, who tells us to speak the word of God. We are agreeing with him, and that brings it to pass in this life. Your affirmations, going on to number 20, your affirmations help you to master a level of receiving before you advance to another level. This is an interesting concept. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Beholding in a glass, one way of defining looking into that glass is the mirror of the Word of God. We see that same illustration or same application being used in James chapter 1 about the Word of God being like a mirror. As we see in the Word of God what we need, then as we begin to speak it, see, we are beholding the glory of the Lord in that Word. And then it begins to change us bit by bit from glory to glory. So a good example of this would be in the area of healing. When we first hear the Word of God on healing, we understand what God's Word says, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It hasn't gotten into our heart yet. We're agreeing with what God's Word has said. We've got it in our head. So we begin to speak it. Then as we grow in our understanding of God's Word, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, then we begin to take more steps. It may start with just simply believing that when a headache comes, and then we are challenged with this headache, so we say, you know what, I'm going to affirm God's Word that this headache has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So that is a step of growth. And then as we apply that to symptoms of a cold that's starting to come on us, and we apply the Word of God to that, and we grow to that. And then something more challenging comes up. We've been to the doctor and he tells us, hey, you know, you're kind of on the edge there of some high blood pressure. So I said, wait a second, I can speak the word of God over this. So as we grow from glory to glory, we continue to speak the word of God. So as we go from one level to another, and the more that we are growing, the more that we are realizing, you know what, this stuff works. I can depend on the word of God to the point that when, in my example, when I then had a challenge that involved my heart and it seemed to be life-threatening, again, I did not go to any medical person to explore anything. I was just standing on the word of God. But by then, I had known that the word of God would work so I could stand on it. I was growing from glory to glory. Number 21, the word of God is never vain, useless, or prideful. And this is a challenge that a lot of people have had with affirmations. Just saying it over and over again, 100, 200, 500 times. Isn't that just vain repetition? And Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard by their much speaking. Couple of comments here. First of all, notice that he's talking about the heathen. In other words, those who don't have a covenant with God. So they have no basis on which to speak anything because they have no power. There's no power behind it. There's nothing that's going to happen. There's no God to support what they are trying to do. We have a God that supports what we're trying to do. It's not useless in any way. And of course, there is no pride involved. Now, the other thing, notice here, it says, for they think they shall be heard of their much speaking. We are not trying to use affirmations to, let's try to talk God into the healing, because it's already been promised to us. God says, we're healed by the stripes of Jesus. By his stripes, you've been healed. I mean, it's very clear that that's what the word of God says. So we're not trying to talk God into it. We are using this as spiritual warfare. Eleazar and his sword, right? We are fighting against the enemy that is withholding from us what we have. So the word of God, when we speak the word of God, it is not useless whatsoever. It is not vain, because we have seen all the wonderful things that happen when we speak the word of God. Amen. Number 22, worshiping God in truth by singing songs of praise and worship in which we repeatedly affirm the word of God. John chapter 4, verse 24, I'm going to start in verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we are singing songs, you know, the one that came to mind is Jennifer Deet's song, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so on. When we are singing the word of God, when we are praising him with our words, it is something that releases the word of God into our lives, the anointing of God, it resists the devil, all these kind of things that we've been talking about. And worshiping and praising him is one way of doing that. And number 23, affirming God's word of healing can dramatically shorten the time to your seeing the manifestation. Now notice there are two names, Dodi Osteen and Pastor Joshua, and under Dodi's name is 18,000, and under Pastor Joshua's name is 25,000. Let me explain that a little bit. First of all, who is Dodi Osteen? Dodi Osteen used to be known as John Osteen's wife. He went to be with the Lord, and she is now known as Joel Osteen's mother, Dodi Osteen. from Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, where I was looking at some things online today just to kind of update myself. October of last year, she turned 80. That is significant because in 1981, over 30 years ago, she was diagnosed with cancer of the liver. They gave her 2, maybe 3 weeks to live and no options. So she and John said, let's go home and we'll deal with this with the Lord. And so that began a process where for approximately 2 years, she was, notice I'd said 2 or 3 weeks. So here, 2 years as she applied the principles of speaking God's word over her life, she was healed of terminal liver cancer. God gave her 40 scriptures that she was using to speak God's word. And a lot of them were healing scriptures. Some of them were not, you know, quote, healing scriptures. They were great scriptures about God's love and that kind of thing towards her that helped encourage her. But she would speak these 40 scriptures that she put together. She would speak them approximately 2 or 3, 4 times a day. And she would take them like medicine. So, you know, maybe 4 times a day, you know, when she got up in the morning, you know, for breakfast and lunch and dinner and before she went to bed or something like that. She would speak these scriptures just one time, just each time she would go through all 40 scriptures. Now, other times, as she would lay awake at night in bed and the evil ones pounding her with all these thoughts of death and stuff, now she would speak, you know, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus and things like that. And when she'd go about her daily activities as things were a real struggle for her, she would speak the word of God. But these 40 were the backbone of her seeking healing. So approximately 2 years, and if you calculate it out, it comes to about 18,000 times she did affirmations. Now, Pastor Joshua, when he first learned about affirmations, almost the same time period, early 80s, learned about speaking God's word and that he had been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so he was having a challenge for which he was taking medication. And he chose, you know what? Why am I taking this medication? I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's it. So he said, I'm going to take whatever time it takes to get rid of this. And so the first day, he didn't take the medication. The symptoms came. He began to speak the word of God. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. For 8 hours, he spoke the word of God. And finally, after 8 hours, it broke. The symptoms left. Thank the Lord. And then he went to bed that night. He got up the next morning, and the symptoms just came rushing back. So the next day, he spent 6 hours affirming the word of God. And then the symptoms left. The next day, 4 hours. The next day, 2 hours. And then on the final day, 15 minutes. That's all it took. And the symptoms were gone. And that has not been a challenge in his life since. Again, the same kind of time frame, 30 plus years since that time frame. Now, he wasn't counting at the time, but he estimated that in those hours that he was speaking God's word, he did about 25,000 affirmations. So what took Dodie Osteen 2 years, Pastor Joshua was able to do in 5 days. So affirming a lot of the word of God can help to dramatically shorten the time to seeing the manifestation. And like we talked about last week, you know, I did, you know, 500,000 affirmations when I was going through my heart challenge. Something to that effect, again, not counting, just kind of calculated it out based on the 9 months that the Lord had me doing affirmations. So you apply God's word until you get the manifestation. So I hope this has been a blessing to you. These reasons for affirming the word of God should strengthen your faith, should strengthen your resolve to be speaking the word of God over every situation in your life. You have a situation that is not lining up to the word of God. It may be financial. It may be with your relationships. It may be in your health. It may be in your job situation. It may be in your schooling situation. Whatever it might be, if something is not going according to the word of God, begin to speak it. Because speaking the word of God releases the anointing of God. Speaking the word of God releases the power of God in that situation. Speaking the word of God will take the things that are seen and change them into the things that are not seen. In other words, what we want from God's word. We don't see the healing, we speak the healing comes. So those things that be not, we speak them as though they were until they are. So keep affirming the word of God. Amen.